How's everyone doing? Good. Now, just be honest. Who's been enjoying the series? Okay. Two hands. That's all right. This one is called Speak the Word. Speak the Word, part five. How many of you know it's important to speak the Word of God? First one was fix your mouth. The second one was seas of death or seas of life. The third one we had was sticks and stones. The fourth one was what he said. And now the fifth is speak the word. It's important to speak the word of God over our lives on everyday situations. Things that may be going on, we speak the word. We prophesy over ourselves. Sometimes I go, I'm not the only one who does this, because I'll be driving. I see other people talking to themselves too. So I'm in good company. Sometimes I will have my Bluetooth in or what have you. I say, but you know what? I don't care. They're going to see me for about a second and then I'm gone. I could be singing or something, and I'm just prophesying over myself. I'm speaking God's word, because it's a whole lot better to speak his word than to speak negative things over your life, because your body and spirit will react to that stuff. I said, so it's getting the right stuff in there. You know, it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed. Now we know that the mountain will not move unless we say what God says about it. So we got to go to the word. Well, there's not a word for my situation. I guarantee you there's a word for your situation. I just think that sometimes we may want a different word for our situation. Paul had to plead with Jesus three times. Seems to me he didn't like what he heard the first two times. My grace is sufficient for you. You have something else. He pleaded with him three times. Get into the word, find out what it says about your situation, and when the Lord speaks to you through meditating on his word, there's your breakthrough. Even when you're sitting in here, when you're taking notes, don't just write down what I say. Write down what the Holy Spirit is telling you. There's your breakthrough. That's what you've been looking for. So whatever he tells you, you speak that over your situation. One word from God can change your whole outcome. It can move your mountain. It can stop the storm. It can heal the sick. It can cleanse the lepers. It can raise the dead. Just one word. God's word in your mouth is a whole lot more important than your word in your mouth. So speak his word. If you got your Bibles, turn to Romans 10:6 and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can speak your word any time of day, Lord. There's nothing that can hinder us from doing that but ourselves, Lord. And just help us to grow in this and learn from what you're teaching today. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. See, in order to obtain righteousness under the law, it was done by your performance. We don't have to do that today. We just believe by faith what Jesus has already done for us. Verse 7, it says, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. The apostles preach the word of faith. There is nothing you have to do performance-wise. See, Paul was quoting out of Deuteronomy 30:14. The word is near you, it is in your mouth, and in your heart. In verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there is something that you have to do with your mouth, and there is something that you have to do with your heart. That's how prayer is. A silent prayer never got anything done. You have to open up your mouth. You got to confess it. Confession means to agree with. You agree with what Jesus has done for you, what he can do, what he has done, and faith works in your heart. You believe in your heart. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto deliverance, protection. Confession is made. I've said this before, and I'll reiterate it again. Here's the thing. We don't make suggestions. Suggestions don't move mountains. Man, it would be great if we had, if God would just pour out his spirit. Well, no, he's already done that. He's been doing that. Man, it would be great if we had a revival. I said, well, we need to get our hearts prepared because, you know, he's been pouring out his spirit. We got to respond to what he's already done. Man, it would be great to see some miracles. Go out there and do it. He's giving you the power. He's giving you the word. Go out and do it. Well, you're sitting out watching as the world turns. Is that even on still? Please don't answer. Please don't answer. There's a daytime TV is the worst for me. So I'm glad I worked throughout the day. Come on in, brother. Faith means to be fully convinced of. When you are fully convinced in your heart of who Jesus is and what he has done for you, then your confession will always line up with what's in your heart. If faith and confession can bring to pass what God's word says about the mountain will obey your words based upon what's in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth. Think about it. The mountain will obey what's in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth. I'm going to use you, Richard. Come on up. Charles ain't here. Well, Telly's back. Telly's here. The mountain. He's the mountain. The mountain will obey my voice when I tell it to move. In the name of Jesus, I command you to move. And it gets out of my way. But what do? We end up talking about it all the time. Then the mountain ends up just moving with us. We end up moving. But if we, here's the thing. Now, can you squat all the way down?
Yeah.
Huh?
Like that?
Yeah. Playing leapfrog. Now, the more and more we keep talking about that mountain, we know it continues to get big. The fear. So whatever is in your heart, if fear is in your heart, that's going to come out of your mouth. This mountain ends up getting bigger and bigger. The mountain will obey your voice. You keep talking about your problems, it'll get bigger and bigger. But when you put God's word in your heart and it comes out of your mouth, it will move. You can go sit. Okay. Good job. Give him a hand. It will move. And sometimes we just go throughout the day talking about the mountain. We'll call our friends up. We'll talk about the mountain. I've done that before. And guess what? After it's all said and done, the mountain's still there. So we're going to have to get that into our hearts. Get his word, plant it. Water it with the word. And when that mountain shows up or what have you, you begin to think about it. You speak to it and you command it to leave. And it will obey your voice. Fear. Fear. False evidence appearing real. The enemy's good at that. But so are we. At times. If we're really honest, we can operate in fear a whole lot better sometimes than we can operate in faith. I'm not the only one. Proverbs 28:1 says this. Just the passion. Guilty criminals experience paranoia, even though no one threatens them. But the innocent lovers of God, because of righteousness, right standing with God, will have boldness of a young, ferocious lion. It don't matter your age. You are like a young, ferocious lion. But fear will get you to the place to where you're acting out of paranoia. You're acting like somebody's always coming after you. You got to look over your back in every which way. I grew up when I got 18. When I was 3, I got hit by a car. And so my dad sued and got hit by a policeman. And so my dad sued. He saw all of it unfold. And honestly, it was my fault. Must have had a good lawyer. But I was 3 years old. So So I didn't receive the money until I was 18. But I didn't get my license until I was after 18, you know. So I went and bought my first car without a license. And I was driving that car all over the place. And I remember going, my brother was playing at Moorpark JUCO. He was a blue chip All-American his freshman year. And we were going to, I got loaded up my friends and we were going from Oxnard to Moorpark. And, you know, you're driving, you know, you got one of those little radar deals on to make sure you don't, the cops, you know, just for show. So we got one of those up there. I'm making sure that no policeman sees it. And you know what? In a whole trip, even though we're having fun, I'm looking. Yeah. I'm looking. I'm doing everything that I can to 10-2, man. I'm just, why? Because I did not want to get pulled over. And guess what? We still got pulled over. This is at night. Windows are tinted. Because it was factory tinted. It's just how I bought the car. Pulls me over, asks for my driver's license. I give him my identification card. Yeah. He goes, nah, this isn't it. But he looks at the name and he goes back to the car and then he comes back. He goes, are you part of Lethal Weapon 3? I said, yeah. Lethal Weapon 3 was myself and my two other cousins. We played an all-star game and we were showing out. So the paper label is Lethal Weapon 3. He goes, well, where you guys at? I said, to my brother's game. He knew my brother. He goes, well, if you have somebody in the car that has a license, they can drive it. You guys can go on, but you can't drive it. I said, all right. Somebody had a license in the car. Let us go. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Amen. But here's the thing. That didn't stop me from continuing to go because I still had to go to school, had to go to work. So the whole time I'm like, when you're not doing the right thing, you have to constantly look over your back to see who's coming. Guilty criminals do this. But see, once I got my license, I got insurance, I was legal. Did they take me in here when I got pulled over here? When I came back to Hayes, when I came to Hayes for the first time, my license was suspended. I had a license, but someone else used my name. Oh. Miss Court and things of that nature. So I had to go clear that up, but I had to, you know, while they're taking thumbprints, they're asking for autographs because I played for the basketball team. All right. But they were cool about it. They were cool about it. But once I became legal, I became right, I became a law-abiding citizen, I didn't have to look over my back anymore. Just when I get on the interstate and I'm rushing or highways, when I'm rushing a volleyball game and I get pulled over on that too. Doing 90. I was trying to get to my daughter's substate game because I was filming. And a police officer caught me. And what am I going to argue for? He caught me. Right over the hill. My goodness. JC was there. Ethan was in it. Boy, that was embarrassing. But I'm that type of person. If I get caught or whatever, I'm not going to sit there and fight it. That's what it is. It is what it is. Brian, you should be having your ears plugged. Don't. See, the enemy does not like it when you are bold and confident. He doesn't want you confident because if you're confident, you're going to speak out those things that God has already put in your heart. Sin will always make a coward out of you and you will be constantly looking behind you. Here's a quote by Marianne Williamson. That's quoted by Nelson Mandela. It's a very, very good quote. If you ever watch Coach Carter, they quote this here. He goes, our deepest fear it's not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. You are a child of God. Your plain small does not deserve the world. We were created to manifest the glory of God within us. So as we let our light shine, we are unconsciously liberated from our deepest fears. And in that liberation, we free the souls of those around us. All of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Every single time I say that, I get choked up. Because it seems like I'm not doing as what... I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. I'm not there yet. Because I know God's has something great operating in me. The whole world, all of creation, is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Philippians 4:6 says this. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. I like that word. Offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Just stay right there for a minute. Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again. The baggage claim is out there. Before you come into the church, leave your baggage there. Just leave it out the door. When you come in, you're free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's liberty. You leave and don't pick it up. You don't have to claim it. You don't have to claim that baggage. Just leave it there. Whatever problem you're going through, whatever storm you're going through, just leave it there. Give it to God. You don't have to pick that up. So every time you start to worry about anything, that's a great time to start praying. You start worrying about something, it starts repeating, start praying. Cancel that out, start praying. Start praying the word of God over your life. Be saturated means to be full of moisture, made thoroughly wet in prayer throughout the day. There's a scene, one of my favorite movies, my wife told me she watched this, several times, War Room? Several times, over and over and over again. I know she had to be screaming at the top of her lungs. But there's this one scene where that elderly woman was selling her house and there was a retired pastor that came in. They were looking at that place and then he walks into the closet, comes back out, goes back in again. Somebody's been praying in this room. She goes, yeah, that's her prayer closet. That's her war room, what have you. And she goes, how do you know? He goes, it's just baked in. Saturate yourself in prayer. You ever get around people who pray a lot? You just know what's going on. I mean, I need to stay around you a little bit more. Prayer warriors. Saturate yourself in prayer. You ain't got nothing to do. Saturate yourself in prayer. Verse 7 says this, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ. And verse 8, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God. Praising him always. God's wonderful peace triumphs over human understanding. He will give you peace in the middle of chaos. He will give you sleep in the middle of a storm. Patience is produced when you're going through the testing of your trials. He will give you wisdom if you lack it. There is no good thing that God is keeping from you. But yet there are sometimes we keep things from him. He says, tell him, verse 6, tell him every detail. He knows it already, but it's good for you to tell him. When God gives you peace, you keep it and you hold on to it. The cares of this world can take your peace quickly if you give your attention to things that oppose his word. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. If you put your thoughts on things that are opposite or contrary to that, your peace is going to be gone. He's given it to you to keep it, to hold on to it, but then we just give it to the world. Psalms 49:3. So it's important to keep our mouth and heart in line with his word. It says this, my mouth shall speak wisdom. My mouth shall speak wisdom. Say that. My mouth shall speak wisdom. Well, Pastor Tim, I ain't got no wisdom. It's in the word. Proverbs 8, you can look at that all you want. And the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. By wisdom, kings reigns and rulers decree justice. Wisdom and the word created this world. The same wisdom that created this world, the same word that created this world has been made available to us. But no, let us go back to the world. I'm so glad we have a loving God. Even though we continue to do those types of things. And it's just almost like the Israelites. I mean, we can read it and read it how often they tempted the Holy One of Israel. Limited and tempted him over and over. He'd display his power, miracles every day. They still go back saying the same thing, grumbling, complaining, and every which way. And sometimes we do it. Thank God for his grace and mercy. You have to be born again. Being born again. Acts chapter 19. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. See, unusual miracles were done by Paul. This is the first time it's been done like this. Aprons and handkerchiefs? Who does that? And the apron that he was wearing was basically the apron that he was using when he was making tents. That sweaty, stinking apron. Filled with, I mean, just must, everything else. They were taking that and laying it on people and they were being healed by it. Some people would have been like, isn't there a story about a centurion who said, just send the word? You're sending aprons? You're bringing aprons? You're bringing handkerchiefs? That was on somebody's head working in the fields. This stinks. You want me to rub that all over my body? Somebody else's sweat? Yeah. Because there's anointing in it. There's power in it. People were actually bringing, my goodness, people were actually bringing their friends, people that they knew, people that they heard of, laying them in the street just so that Peter's shadow would fall. That's you all as well. Stop thinking less of yourself. Well, that was just for the apostles. That passed away with the apostles. Spiritual things can't pass away with the flesh. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Itinerant just means they traveled from place to place. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them overpowered them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The evil spirit recognized the spirit of Jesus and Paul, but not just them. They'll recognize it in you too. It's the same spirit. So don't be afraid. He will recognize you too. It's those who aren't born again, like the seven sons of Sceva, that didn't recognize because they were not authorized to use the name of Jesus. Hell should fear every born again believer when you step on the scene. When you know who you are. That's why they got to take away your confidence. Because otherwise you'll be the one just, they're scary. They're scary looking. No, no, no. You're scary looking. Not outwardly, inwardly. Because you got somebody that's great living on the inside of you. The enemy wants to keep you distracted so that they don't get to praying God's word. Get you fighting one another. See, we're like walking nuclear bombs. Loaded with the word of God. And instead of using it on the enemy and on the mountains and things of that nature, he's trying to get us to use it on each other. He can't defeat you, but we can defeat ourselves. What a diabolical plan. Getting us to fight one another. And he's just sitting back laughing. People who practice magic, witchcraft, sorcery came and brought their books and they had them burned. That's a lot of money to be powerless. Well, they operate in some type of power, but it wasn't the real thing. We get this for free. Jesus paid it all. They had to pay for that junk. The church has to get back to displaying the power of God again because there are some who have opened themselves up to that mess. The true power of God will get people to the place of where they not only believe what they have seen, but they will believe in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus was prevailed. It was upheld. I'm tired of seeing powerless churches. And all of us, I don't care what the denomination is, all of us, if you're reading the word, you're born again. You got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Stinking thinking gets us to that place. Jesus doesn't lose. And when we're on his side, neither do we. All things are possible to him that believes. So get your confession lined up. If you have nothing to do, just get into the word. All day, saturate yourself in prayer. Then you do it. You do what God is telling you to do. How's your back? And I understand when you do it knowing that it's already a finished work. He said it is finished. It is finished. Every problem, every situation you had in life that comes up, he already saw it. He already made provision for it. His grace is already sufficient for you. It's finished. So why should we ever, ever, ever worry? Because the enemy wants to get us powerless. Paranoid, looking behind our back so we're not walking in the fullness of what he's given us. It's an old commercial, Gatorade commercial. Michael Jordan says, and he just keeps saying, is it in you? Is he in you? Is God's word in you? But I've talked to the mountain. I said, if faith and confession lined up is a good thing, but so is fear and confession. That's a horrible thing. It gets bigger. How come it ain't going anywhere? I've done it. It ain't going anywhere. Because somewhere down the line, you're operating in fear. Doesn't say, because he says it will work. God says it will work. And sometimes you just can't go over people's will. I've learned that. Learned it the hard way. But you know what? It's okay. You never know what people are doing, what they're believing, where they're at. They can tell you one thing and then be doing something else. Faith. I believe it works. When it's in our heart and we confess it, it works. And then it just gets us to the place within the body of Christ where people don't want to take ownership of it. It's a whole lot easier to blame God for something than to say, Lord, I missed it. I missed it. I was talking with a couple a few nights ago, and I was telling him that. I was like, you know, I didn't know. Again, like when my mom and dad, his last year of his life, he would say, don't call Tim. Didn't want me to pray for him because every time I pray for him, he started getting better. Because he already had made the decision to go and be with the Lord, but my mom just, she didn't want to accept it at that time. So she would sneak away and call me up and I get to praying and he get to feeling better. You called Tim, didn't you? Yeah. But I couldn't override that. I laid hands on him. The power of God hit him like never. My godmother. We grew up with godparents and they live in Liberty, Mississippi right now. Sweetest woman ever. But pray for her. Isaiah was there. My dad was there. So we laying hands and I see her start touching her head and stuff. I was like, okay. And then later on, I find out that she wasn't able to do her own hair. She would do everybody else's, but she couldn't touch her own hair because her shoulders were, God healed her shoulders. My brother, older brother, had knee problems. He didn't think that he'd be walking within 10 years. And I told him, who said that? I said, doctor say that? He goes, no, I've been saying that. I said, well, shut your mouth. He like doing bodybuilding. I mean, he squats and everything like that, you know, but so I sit him down on a chair to see if his legs are shorter than the other. And they were fine. They checked out. And I said, grab my hand. And so he ended up grabbing my hand and we both went down like this and he goes back up. Well, actually, I prayed for him before we did that. Commanded his knees to be healed, cartilage to grow. And then he did it again. He goes, let me see that again. He gets back up. He goes, there's no pain. He goes, I haven't been able to do that for 2 years. So I'm saying, all right. There's my dad. And I punched him in his stomach as hard as I could with the power of God. And I felt the power going. But when he got a report saying that it wasn't, that it was back, that's when he accepted it. Now I can get mad at God. Why? I said, but I have my why. I have my why. And I have to accept that. He was ready. There's nothing you can do about that. Now, I've heard other stories and things like that, but I mean, I'm just saying for my scenario, he was ready. Sometimes people are ready to go. Stop beating yourself up over it. Because your job was to confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. You did your job. Jesus already did his job. Now they got to receive it. I had a lot of people praying for me when I was in the hospital. But until I received it, I don't think it would have done much. It would have been just a lot of pretty words. I had to receive what everyone was saying to me. I believe it, and I received it. And I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Feel like doing a lap right now. Somebody once said, if you're going to get up, just go to the left. So you don't run into each other. Speak the word. Sometimes that self-talk is a good thing. You get yourself hyped up. I'd be out there on the court and I'm playing horrible. Come on, Tim. Let's get it together. Your man just scored 4 times on you. When you gonna stop him? Get it together. Or sit on the bench. Do something. Foul him. Knock him out. Do something. And sometimes we need to do that with ourselves, but don't be negative about it. Speak what his word says about you. If you're dealing with low self-esteem, it's because you're going off of what the enemy is telling you or what someone else has told you. And you're replaying that over and over and over again. And it's almost as if it's like 1,000 cuts that you're giving yourself. Death by 1,000 cuts. But you can be healed by 1,000 words. You can be healed by 1 word. If you allow them to. God can heal any situation. God can restore any situation. You just got to be able to let go of the pain. That's not meant for you to carry. Let go of all the anguish. Let go of all the bad mistakes. We all make mistakes. Let it go. Because he wants to heal you. It's part of why he came, to heal the brokenhearted. And if your heart has been broken, Jesus is the answer. He says, if you abide in my words, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you hold on to that pain, all you're doing is just putting yourself in a private prison. Every word you speak over yourself that's negative, that's another life sentence. That's another year. Another day in the clink. Prison Mike. Let it go. And allow him to start healing. Let it go. And just watch that addiction fall off. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. What your daughter may have said 10 years ago. Your son may have said to you, let it go. And begin to pray and watch him begin to bring those prodigals back home. Let it go. It's not worth it. Not worth it. Life is way too short to want to be right all the time. Let it go. And I'm even speaking to me. Gotta let it go. Gotta let it go. Gotta speak the word. Speak the word. Not what we feel. not what we want to see as far as our own selfish agendas, but speak his word, because his agenda is always going to be best for you and your family and your friends and those around you. We want to see our agenda is just going to satisfy us. But when God's word is working in us, it's overflowing. It's going to spill on over to the people we love. Let it go. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. You are the restorer. You are our provider of all things, Lord. And if there's anyone here today that is having a hard time of letting stuff go, just raise your hand real quick. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up. Thank you. I just want you to repeat this with me. Heavenly Father, today, I set down my baggage and I leave it with you. Every problem, every situation, every offense that may have came against me, I give it to you. I let it go. And I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my will to you. I surrender my mind to you and my mouth, and I will confess your word over my life, because your words are life. And I thank you for your healing in my spirit and in my soul and in my family and in my marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now this is said in love. Don't you dare pick it up again. Let it go. God wants to see you healed and whole, healthy, walking in boldness and confidence. But when you're not, you're looking back, paranoid in every which way. He don't want you paranoid. Enemy wants you paranoid. Somebody try to pick a fight with you? You know what I want to say, but I'm not going to say it. You just continue to love on them. Perfect love casts out all fear. And you won't ever have to walk in fear again when you're walking in love, when you're keeping yourself in love. You could just laugh at it. You know that's the enemy. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. We're just going to get an agreement. There was a man that called me this morning, and I don't know if it's true or not, but he said that he was just having a lot of confusion in his mind, and he didn't know where he was at. His wife was at work. He called the church looking for Pastor West. He had gone here a long time ago. I don't know if people know. He said his name was Hugh Boning. Anybody remember that name? But anyway, I just believed that his memory is blessed. The memory of the righteous is blessed. So we just all get in agreement with that. Amen. I'm just waiting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hmm. Can we just pray in the Spirit for 30 seconds? Just for 30 seconds. Just pray in your prayer language. Thank you, Denise. Father God, we just speak healing right now to her body, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, her spine, her feet. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for balance and strength in her legs. Lord, we thank you for that. Your child, Lord. We command healing in this body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to speak every day. Lord, my legs are walking.
Amen.
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 New as a child.
Thank you,
honey. You're not just walking. You're going to be dancing.
There you go.
Yeah.
You have stairs to climb where you live now, don't you?
No more.
Okay.
Yeah, no more.
Amen.
Good.
Hallelujah.
I lived at that portion.
Has somebody been having intestinal stuff problems? I believe God is working on you right now in the name of Jesus. That he is healing you right now. Receive it. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. If that's the only thing we do, we thank you. We just enter into a place of thanksgiving, gratitude, and praise, Lord. You are so wonderful. Lord, as these people, as your children leave today, Lord, they will continue to be impactful for you, for the kingdom, not for themselves. It's not a popularity contest. It's about you. They walk out with the boldness and confidence of who they are because of what you've done. Lord, we just thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.